Listen to that music without tearing up. It is so beautiful. And if you recognized it, it is the Richard Payne Trio, who outdid themselves today, and our choir. Thank you so much. It was unbelievable. And if you were visiting us today, we do this all the time, so you avail yourselves of it. So please turn to the person next to you and ask them, will you marry me? Just kidding. Just kidding. 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 Although I would like to marry the Richard Payne Trio and have that all done. But this is a leap year. And tomorrow is Leap Day, which only happens every 4 years. It means we get an extra day in our year. And the old custom was that on Leap Day, a woman got to propose to a man. Now, fortunately, these days, anyone can propose to anyone. And all that has nothing to do with my topic today. Except for the fact that tomorrow we do get an extra day, and that won't happen for another 4 years. So I would encourage you tomorrow to do something special with that day, and I will have a few suggestions as we go along. But today I would like to talk about a problem that is facing many of us on a daily basis, and that is other people. Yes, my friends. It is something that can trip us up almost every day if we are not careful. Other people. I can fall off the spiritual path so quickly your head would spin. And this dealing with other people reminds me of that prayer I love that says, "Dear God, so far today I have done really well. I haven't gossiped, I haven't been rude or mean to anyone, I haven't been sarcastic, but dear God, now I'm about to get out of bed." And I'm really going to need your help. We certainly have guidance with regard to how we are supposed to conduct ourselves with other people. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Well, that's certainly one approach. But the fact is, I have discovered the secret to this other people problem. And the secret is that ultimately, the problem is always me. It's me, it's me, it's me. And even when the other person has done something wrong or has been really rotten to me or is just a disagreeable person, it's my reaction that determines everything that happens next. Or it's just the fact that I'm engaging with that person, or in many cases, engaging again with that person. So it still comes down to me. And the people I'm struggling with are generally people I have subconsciously drawn into my life. If I tend to be a caretaker, I will draw into my life people who need being taken care of. If I don't love and respect myself, I will find people who feel the same way about me. But when I become emotionally and spiritually healthy and balanced, I will find myself surrounded by like-minded people. And the only answer I have found over many years to my dilemma of other people is to pray, to turn it over, to let go and let God. To pray, "Dear God, bless them, heal me." Dear God, please have me see this as you would have me see it. Marianne Williamson writes in her great book, Illuminata, we experience God's peace and harmony to the extent to which we love, forgive, and focus on the good in others and in ourselves. So we will be experiencing God's love to the extent we see that peace and harmony and goodness in others and in ourselves. I also know that when I am blaming someone else, I become a victim, and I'm giving that person all my power, and I forget that I get to choose how I'm going to feel. And that's hard because I know it doesn't feel that way in the moment. In the moment, it does not feel like I have a choice. And maybe initially I don't, when that immediate rush of anger or frustration comes over me, it's involuntary. But what happens next is what I do have control over. What I do, what I say, what I do not say, that's what I can control. I actually had an example a few weeks ago, and you've all heard many stories about my son, Alex, who is now 15. And the other Saturday, he was acting like a complete teenager. So my usual strategy is a mature one. I yell or shout or I get angry and I stop talking altogether. But this time, after I got angry, I realized I had a choice in what happened next. So I said to Alex nicely, I'm going to take the dog for a walk. And I put the dog in the car, I took her down to the canal, I put my earbuds in, I played my music, I prayed, and I calmed myself down. And I also told God that I knew things could turn around between Alex and me, and that that was the vision I was going to hold. Because as Unity students, we know the power of holding those visions in our minds. And I went back home, and Alex was great. And I was much different myself. And that was a real lesson to me, that I could choose my response to something and that my response could change everything. But the other thing I was reminded of was that praying once about a problem really isn't a winning strategy. If I only turn to God when things get tough, I will just lurch from crisis to crisis. And I believe in the line that says, if it is not happening in my day, it is not happening in my life. And if I am praying every day, reading my spiritual literature, meditating, then my reactions to other people will be much different. Proverbs 12, verse 16 tells us that we should have patience in our relationships. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Now think about that. When was the last time you overlooked an insult? Can you overlook an insult? Now that's different than not responding to an insult, because I can do that. You can insult me and I can definitely not respond. Sometimes I won't respond to you for weeks. But sometimes I may not say anything in the moment, but then I might tell someone what you said to me, or I might tell 10 people what you said about me. And then maybe when the time is right, I might send a little verbal zinger your way to get back at you. Or maybe I'll just carry a low level of resentment forever. And that is not letting it go. That is not turning it over to God. That is giving that person free rent in my head. There's a saying that goes, the true mark of maturity is when someone hurts you and you try to understand their situation instead of hurting them back. Maybe that's what I will do for my leap day tomorrow. If someone hurts me, I will try to understand their situation rather than hurting them back. So let me ask you to think about something for a minute. Imagine someone who is getting on your one last nerve or who you're having an issue with. And now picture that you are sitting somewhere with a close friend, maybe having a cup of coffee, and you're telling your friend about this person and what they've done to you. And get a picture of that. Think about the words you're using, what your face is doing, your posture, the energy around that. See that. And now imagine that Jesus comes into the room in all his light and glory. And Jesus says, "Oh, no, don't stop talking. I'll just sit and listen for a bit." Kind of changes everything, doesn't it? You don't feel quite right talking badly about someone when that pure light and love is in the room with you. But that's the point. That light and love is always in the room with us. It's always in us, which is why I think we feel so bad after we have talked about someone or had an interaction with someone when we were not coming from our highest self. We don't feel good about ourselves because we know better. And we also know that God is not seeing that individual as I am seeing him. God is seeing, and this can make me really angry sometimes, God is seeing that person as he sees me, with total love. And the other thing is, we don't even have to be talking about that person because thinking those thoughts about someone is almost as bad. As truth students, we know that our thoughts are energy, and it's a universal law that what we are sending out there is what will be coming back to us. It will come as no shock to any of you who have heard me before that I sometimes have an issue with someone at work. And a while ago, there was someone who was actually a good friend when we were not in the office. But at work, she was so passive-aggressive with me. She was always getting these little zingers in. We'd be talking about something, and she'd say, "Well, you know, you're really horrible at that." Or we'd talk about a project I had a while ago, and she said, "And boy, you really messed that up." And I would be so angry and so self-righteous, too, because I never gave her those jabs. Really, I never did. But I did occasionally talk about her. Just occasionally. But more than that, I thought about her. I can't tell you the hours I spent in my head thinking about what she'd said, what she had done, taking her inventory and judging her. So yes, they were just my thoughts, but I was sending them out into the universe, and I have no doubt that was what was coming back to me through her. Now, sometimes our interactions with others are difficult because we feel the need to be right. And I normally don't think that's an issue for me. But a few months ago, I'd gone for a bike ride, and my son had also gone on a bike ride with a friend, and we ended up in the same general area. So we texted each other that we would meet on this corner and then bike home together. But I said to hurry because I didn't want to bike home in the dark. So I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and he's not coming, and I'm getting more anxious and more angry, and finally he gets there much later than I wanted, and we're biking home, and I'm yelling, "Now we're biking in the dark because you were late." And he's saying, "It's not dark." And I'm saying, "Yes, it is. People's headlights are on." And he said, "They turn their lights on when it rains, too." And I said, "Yeah, because it's dark when it rains." And I said, "And now look, the street lights are on because it's dark." And he said, "They always go on before it gets really dark." And I finally realized I am arguing with my child about whether or not it's dark out. Stop. Just stop. I was never going to win. But I was right. Another example was just recently, Alex had an appointment at the Apple store because his phone was broken. But he's dragging his feet, and he's not getting ready, and we're not getting out the door. And I'm telling him, "If you're late, we're going to miss the appointment." And, of course, we're late, and I'm thinking, we're going to miss the appointment. We get there, and the salesman says, "Well, you're over 10 minutes late, and we have a rule that if you're 2 minutes late, we consider you late, and we give up the appointment." And I said, "Yep, I told him. I told him we were going to miss it." And then the guy said, "But we can still fit you in." And I thought, Catherine, you so desperately wanted to be right. You wanted to show him. It wasn't my finest hour. It was my ego in charge, my ego run riot. Would you rather be right or be happy? What does it cost us to let it go? To let go and let God. Dear God, bless them, change me. Dear God, help me see this situation as you would have me see it. Now, again, I'm not saying there are not some very challenging people out there. We all know difficult people, and we all know people with huge egos, people who are going to be very disappointed the first Easter after their death. Get it? I read that recently and loved it. But 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" And here's what we have to remember. First, we are all that person sometimes with our egos running rampant. And secondly, that individual we're dealing with, they have had their successes, their failures, their disappointments, their challenges, just like we do. We don't know what's going on with them or has gone on with them. And God loves that individual every bit as much as I am loved. Writer and spiritualist Thomas Merton says that the one truth that would help us begin to solve our problems is that knowing we are all more or less wrong, that we are all at fault and all limited by our mixed motives, including self-deception and self-righteousness. Yes, sometimes we are wrong. We are at fault. So maybe the next time we can be a little more forgiving of the other guy, knowing that at times we are all the other guy. And knowing that, I think it's our job to walk humbly and help others and remember that we are all children of God, responsible for helping other children of God. Maybe that's what I will do tomorrow on Leap Day. Give the other guy a break. Turn the other cheek. Consider the fact that they might be having a really bad day and let it go. In her book, Stitches, the great Anne Lamott writes, "Whether I'm wrong or not, most of us have figured out that we have to do what's right in front of us and keep doing it. We clean up beaches after oil spills. We rebuild towns after tornadoes. We return calls and library books. We get people water. Some of us even pray. Every time we choose the good action or response, the decent, the valuable, it builds incrementally to renewal, resurrection, freedom, and justice. The equation is life, death, resurrection, hope. The horror is real, and so you make casseroles for your neighbor, organize an overseas clothes drive, and do your laundry. You can also offer to do someone else's laundry." So we do our part. We recognize that even though those other people can drive us crazy sometimes, our lives pretty much revolve around our interactions with other people. We are not doing this alone. And whether I approach that woman at work as someone who might get one up on me, or as someone who is really God in a nice sweater and skirt, that perception I have will change my interaction with her. We always think someone else is getting a bigger slice of the pie, and that means there will not be enough for me. But the thing is, there isn't even a pie. What there is an abundant universe with more than enough to go around. And we are grateful for someone else's blessing. And when we do that, we're just ensuring that our own blessings are on their way as well. John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." There is more than enough to go around, and my brother's abundance is proof that there's abundance out there waiting for me. And I have to start, remember, if I start behaving better, I will feel better. And the only thing I can do when I am challenged, the only thing that will eventually always work, is prayer. But the answers don't always come quickly, or they don't come like we would like them to. But they come, sometimes through a sudden inspiration, through something somebody says to us, through a song, through something they read. It might not always be on our time frame. It might be on God's time frame, but the answers always come. Maybe it all comes down to John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is a commandment, not a suggestion, that you love others as I have loved you. And that's a love without conditions, with no strings attached, and with total and complete forgiveness and compassion built into it. And maybe that can be our goal for tomorrow, for Leap Day. That one extra day we're getting this year, that we love one another. Just imagine how this world would change if everyone just loved one another. But we don't have to wait for everyone else to do it. It can start with us. Tomorrow, let us love one another. Thank you.